all the value there has been wiped away.
Do you guys have a couple of props that consensus, you know, mostly across the board at pregame, you guys like?
Well, I like this one, and I'll own this one. It's a little bit public, but I love it. Julian Edelman, I'm going over 79 receiving yards. He started off the season slow. Why? He sat out all last year. He was suspended the first four games this year. Last 11 games, he's averaged 85 receiving yards per game. He's topped 79.5 yards in seven of those 11 games. In the playoffs, Edelman even better. Hey, playoff Edelman has topped 79.5 receiving yards in 10 of his 12 playoff games and has averaged 100 receiving yards. Give me Julian Edelman over 79.5.
How much of your bankroll percentage-wise is in-game, or do you just pretty much eliminate in-game?
No, I'll do some in-game, no question about it. The majority of it's going to be with all the different props. I don't worry so much side or total, and that's another handicapping tip when it comes to Super Bowl. Right now we've had 10, 12 days into betting here. Just not a lot of value, in my opinion, as far as side or total goes. I think much more value on the props, and once the game gets going, in-game live wager, and that'll represent 90% of my bankroll in the game.
What do you guys have in terms of podcast? Because I could see you guys stretching the limits and doing like a 15-hour podcast.
Yeah, I mean, we've done
RJ is a lunatic.
we have, and we've done a lot. We've done a couple different podcasts already, and we're actually, I don't mind promoting this, first time ever on Fox Sports Radio on Sunday. We're just going to do a prop betting show before the Super Bowl. That's going to air at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Wow.
On Fox Sports Radio. Fez, RJ, and myself, just going over prop bets.
Very nice. All right, Brad, good luck. We appreciate the advice.
All right, right back at you. Take care, guys.
So there you go. 9 a.m. will be on the air, Adam Hill and I. Boy, that's some pretty stiff competition. Those guys doing hours on prop bets.
Hey, your brand is strong. You got your followers.
Those guys are great, though.
Yeah, they are.
They are, and you just heard Brad. That contest, you know, he's got to put up his own money, seven games every week in college and pro, and the dude finished freaking fourth, hitting over 67%.
Incredible.
All right, we'll get back to the story of the day. There's a lot of stories today. Bryce Harper Derby. Is he really going to go to San Diego?
Swagger Men's Grooming, a full-service shop with haircuts, beard trims, face shaves, hair color, and waxing for men. It's Swagger Men's Grooming. Open 7 days a week at Coronado Center Drive and Eastern. It's Cofield and Company.
My God! Okay, it's happening! Everybody stay calm!
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm!
Wait.
Everybody calm down!
With Steve Cofield.
You get nothing! You lose! Good day, sir!
And Ryan McKinnell.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
On ESPN Las Vegas.
Oh my goodness. That's the most badass thing I've ever heard.
Finish him.
Live, Silver Sevens, brand new bar, silver and gold, big grand opening tomorrow. It's right in front of the William Hill Race and Sportsbook. You heard it, Ryan's here. Our buddy Ali Stats is with us. Chrissy's back in our Finley Toyota studios. Let's get to it. Big Five.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
You know, as a show with a bunch of fat asses on it, we should be very sensitive when people get on our type, our lot. But I can see both sides. We've got a story, and she sounds like a horrible woman. A horrible woman. Going on a flight, apparently being seated in between two fatzos and just being really obnoxious about how uncomfortable she was. On one hand, I don't blame her for bitching about it, but these things can be avoided, can they not?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely they can, and just be happy.
And I don't mean the discomfort between two fat people, because I don't want to sit between two fatties either, and I've actually gotten off a flight when I had to sit next to a fatty and just said, I'm taking the next flight.
Okay.
Right? I've done it.
Whoa.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Was this when you were much skinnier?
It wouldn't matter.
This give you any sympathy whatsoever?
Actually, I'd be more hypersensitive to it now that I'm freaking a wide load. I don't want to sit in the middle seat.
So you don't take any personal accountability? Really?
I have a nervous breakdown if I'm sitting in the middle seat. But I fly mostly Southwest. And if I'm in the middle seat, whose fault is it? Mine.
Yours.
So for this woman, if you got a middle seat, now you can pay for your seats on every airline. In fact, they make you. You're an idiot.
Yep, absolutely.
What if it was an emergency and she needed to get somewhere within a week's notice and that was the only seat that was left?
No.
I remember hearing something years ago that if you were like over a certain weight limit that you had to get two seats or something like that. Like,
that is true.
Something about the weight balance of the plane.
For everyone's comfortability you had to get two seats and
no, she's right.
And that was part of it.
I'm pretty sure Southwest, and I don't know if it's other airlines, they make you pay for two seats. I'm not sure what the determination is.
I am forever the person in the middle seat. And I'm tiny, so it's no one feels bad for me. But you know what? Feel bad for me. My whole strategy, because I'm 5'2", I put my knees up, like my legs up like this, and curl into a ball and go right to sleep. I'm just a little compact person in my chair, and I go to sleep.
Yeah, I can't.
You don't hear from me.
I can't do that. I do. I'm a
big
guy.
I do my seatbelt around my shins.
Hold on.
Bam.
Stop.
Nope.
Can't do it. That took about 2.5 seconds.
I knew you couldn't.
Yeah, well, I am flexible. I'm not that flexible. I heard this story, and the kicker on this story is the lady got on her phone, and she started passively, aggressively talking on her phone, like, I got these fat people next to me. Listen, if you would have done that with me, I would have just fired right back. You're like, you know I can hear you. You're not so skinny yourself. Have you looked at your nose? Your hair is terrible. You have so many split ends. You're actually married? Oh, my God. Who would marry you? You're such a horrible person to be around. I would just fire right back.
And what kind of douche talks on her phone inside an airplane?
Well, she's trying to incite
anger.
Absolutely. Because
she's gotten away with it before, and no one's called her on it. It's time to call her on
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And I'm getting older, so I'm not doing it as much, but a surefire way to get me almost arrested is to cut me in line. And it's that same thing that he's talking about. Like, do you not see me? Do you think I don't see you?
Yep.
Do you think I'm an idiot? Do you think I'm going to let you do that? Absolutely not. There are societal checks and balances.
Yeah.
I take pride in sometimes being that person.
That happens to me all the time standing in line at a sports book. Guys cut in front of me because they don't think I'm here to make a freaking bet. Oh, I'm here to bet.
The January 2nd flight from Vegas to Newark. And the lady starts yelling on her phone, oh, my goodness, I don't know how I'm going to do this the next 4 hours. This is just impossible because they're squishing me. It's just unbelievable. I'm stuck, but at least they'll keep me warm, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I would have no problem. And here's the thing. If people are like, oh, you know, what would happen? You'd miss the flight. I don't care. I don't have anywhere to get to in any hurry. I will walk off any flight any second. And like I said, if you think I'm kidding, I've done it. And if someone behaved like that, like, because I am an anti-fatso spilling over into my seat, it drives me nuts, but that's just obnoxious. It's funny, we were on a recent flight, myself and the SO, and I saw a gigantic dude, right? I mean, he was probably 6'5 and like 400 pounds, right? And I walked by him, because it was one of those dreaded flights where I actually did have a seat, and somehow, there is a God. Thank you! And I actually got a window or an aisle. I was so happy. Because I was this close to walking off.
I love that you're still happy about it.
I don't know.
Right now, you're still happy.
Yeah, you can tell.
I don't know how it happened. The great thing is, because the SO also got screwed by my late check-in, she goes and sits next to the guy. This guy's so nice, he paid for two seats and initially didn't tell her. And then a flight attendant came over and they were like, hey, you know, he actually paid for two seats, and she got up and moved.
Huh.
How nice is that? That the guy is just a giant tub. He pays for two seats, and then he's still nice enough not to, like, flip out.
Puts his money where his mouth, or where his mouth where the money goes? There's something there. There's something.
Just like we want a comfortable flight, he wants a comfortable flight, too, and it's going to take two seats to do it.
He also probably traveled a few times with women or men like the lady we're talking about.
Right.
He's been shamed. So maybe there's a flip side to this. Maybe the shaming leads to people buying two seats, and that woman in the middle was actually a hero?
You could go about it differently. She's being a jerk.
Well, of course.
Next up.
Number 4.
All right, more reaction on 69Gate, which is Gronk got nabbed the other day again. Well, he didn't get nabbed. He was doing it. He's obnoxious. He's a meathead. He was asked what were the chances he would return next season after playing in the Super Bowl, and he points to a woman and goes, You guys know my favorite number.
One more,
you know what I'm
69
talking about.
Touchdowns.
She knows what number I'm talking about. Ask her. That's the answer. Then he has to keep going. I'll give you a math problem. What's 6 times 9 plus 6 plus 9? Okay. Dude, enough with the 69. Like, we can all be juvenile D-bags, but I think you have to pick your spots.
I think it's funny.
I like how Chrissy jumps in because she knows we're all kind of like, yeah, I mean, Chrissy thinks it's funny even on the 600th time.
Except at our workplace, right, Chrissy?
Absolutely. Well, I would never do that at the workplace.
Well, that's my whole point. You would never do it. But that's my whole point is that you really, if you're going to be crass, you have to kind of read the room and make sure that the recipient is cool with it. And at Super Bowl media sessions, you don't know if some lady is going to be like, yeah, 69.
Presumably a journalist.
Yes. Well,
I mean, it's media day.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
It's media day. Let's yeah. even pump the brakes. I'm liking to think she's a journalist.
I mean, I don't even know what to say. It's from the chick perspective, because I'm the chick here, I'm going to say it's totally lame, bro.
Well,
you know, like, grow up. It's not funny. Got it in eighth grade. Giggle, giggle. Let's move on.
Inappropriate. Maybe because we're so lukewarm on it, it's just like Gronk wearing us down. Maybe it's just been like 7 years of this, and we're like, okay, next. Okay, Gronk. I mean, Gronk apparently still thinks it's hilarious.
I'm over Gronk in the biggest of ways. I just really am.
Well, you might not have to worry about him too much longer. He might not be here next year.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that.
Hey,
hi, Gronk.
What do we think?
Is he going to be here next year? I think he will be there next year because Tom will be there. I think when Tom walks, he walks.
I think he'll be there just because he doesn't even have a thought in his head of what else to do if he's not there.
Is it going to be his choice? They did try to trade him, and then everyone freaked out. You know, supposedly Brady melted down, and he was as good as gone to the Lions.
Yeah, that's a great point. But I think Tom wants him there, and this is becoming more of a Kraft Tom team than I feel like a Bill team. I don't know. I have a hard time believing at 31, I don't know what his age is. I think he's right around there, that he's going to walk, presumably coming off a Super Bowl win.
Yeah.
It could happen, but I think he's pretty loyal to Brady. I think they got a lot of respect for one another, and I think he wants to stick around as long as possible. Steve makes a point, though. Is it his choice? That I don't know.
I think he's the first one to ever eat a Tide Pod. Every time I see that commercial, I'm like, you started the eating a Tide Pod thing, didn't you, Gronk?
I
bet you did.
Idiot. Chrissy, I'll throw this one at you. Make the judgment call on this one. Are we the pot calling the kettle black?
Yes.
And being judgmental since we're often so crass and objectify women on the show?
I mean, you guys aren't the most crass fellas I've ever worked with, but come on.
Was Rob Dibble a lot worse? Wait, don't even answer that.
I've worked with several different former athletes, and I think...
Are we talking crass material on the air or crass to you?
No. Not to me.
Okay.
No. But come on, 69?
Only you know what I mean, baby.
That's awesome.
Oh, no.
That was all a grand setup so you could play your drop.
Yeah.
That's so great.
I'll say this. We talk about him being a meathead. We say he doesn't know, like, you know, what side of the country the sun rises on. Shout out Jared Goff. He just spoke at Media Day, obviously, today, this week, and he said abusing your body isn't what the brain wants. And then he actually went into a nice, long kind of diatribe about his role as a football player.
This is Gronk?
This is Gronk.
About his future.
This is about his future.
All right.
So
he's thinking about it.
He's thinking about it, and that's my point. I think he's a lot more in tune with...
You just said he was coming back for sure.
Yeah.
Now you just changed your mind on one link?
Until Tom isn't. Until I think he is linked to Tom. Yes, I do believe that. But it's also clear that he's thinking about his future.
Hey, meatheads are people too.
That's right, Chrissy.
Big Mac.
He's going to retire like 10 years earlier than Brady would have. But I think he's rolling with the greatest of all time because he's not stupid.
Top three stories.
Number three.
Who's more female friendly, the NFL or the NHL? What exactly?
NHL all the way.
You think? Okay, what exactly happened the other night with Pierre Maguire? Let's fire this. Who's the woman who was attempting to do some color analysis?
Kelly Schofield, the real kicker here is not only was she just at the All-Star game this weekend skating in the fastest skate with the men and putting up numbers that beat some of the fastest skaters in the NHL, she's an Olympic gold medalist.
Really? And this is Pierre Maguire introducing her before the game.
Is going to be on your left. Pittsburgh's going to be on your right. What are you expecting out of this game? We're paying you to be an analyst, not to be a fan tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Tampa start. They've been off for 10 days, haven't had a game. Pittsburgh, on the other hand, had a tough loss on Monday, got a little bit blown out of the water by New Jersey Devils, so I'm excited to see the start tonight.
Let's have a blast. Johnny, back to you.
Okay, what'd you make of that?
What'd I make of it?
What bothered you?
It's, first of all, you're talking to an Olympic gold medalist who just won a gold medal in hockey. You don't need to explain what side of the ice the teams are playing on. You definitely don't need to preface it by saying, hey, we're paying you to be an analyst, don't be a fan. Pierre, she's infinitely more of an analyst than you. She's a better skater, she's a better player, she's an actual hockey player. And also, Pierre, the job you do 30 seconds a night when you're interviewing a player, any moron could do it.
Right.
Literally any moron could do it. And I bring back my show, The Mac Attack, today, 9:20 The Game. I pose this out to my listeners, and I'll pose it again to Las Vegas because this is a bit a bigger group. If you are a woman and you are looking to get into sports broadcasting, maybe you haven't been on the air, right? Allie, you clearly have talent.
Well,
Steve brought you on here. This is kind of what I'm trying to say. Hit me on Twitter, at Ryan McKinnell. We will converse. Over the next couple months, I want to find out what you know about sports, and I want to bring someone on. Rather than just talk about it, there needs to be more women in sports. This isn't a debate, right? And,
yeah.
And rather than me come and yell about what Pierre Maguire did last night, I thought I would put that opportunity out to Las Vegas. So hit me on my DMs. They're open, at Ryan McKinnell, or you can email me at Ryan G. McKinnell, and we'll get someone out there.
What is going on here?
That's awesome.
You know what's going on here? I'm trying to give women a chance because people like Pierre Maguire are out here saying, hey, honey, Pittsburgh sits on, shoots on this side, Tampa Bay sits on this side, try not to be a fan. It's ridiculous.
And it's important. Women have a different take on life in
Absolutely.
General than men do.
Only you know what I mean, baby.
We look at teams differently. I don't look at numbers so much as I look at the personality of a team and how well they're gelling. I look at it from a more emotional level of how these guys are playing with each other than I do just always a bunch of numbers.
And the point is for me at least, anyone, just about anyone can do this job, and Pierre's sitting out there acting holier than thou to someone who's way more accomplished than he
yeah.
is. So it was ridiculous. It went viral. What are you raising
eyebrows at? What is way more accomplished? How long has he been working as an analyst?
As a hockey player.
Yeah.
And she,
do you know
and
his background?
I don't. He's been very – in my life, I know Pierre has been linked to the NHL for about as long as I've been watching hockey.
And he played college hockey. He got a tryout with the Devils.
Okay, cool. She's a gold medalist and an Olympian.
Well,
down to her.
But he was probably a better player than she was.
She just beat – what are you talking about? She was probably a better player.
Are we going to do the male-female
sure,
thing
absolutely.
Here, seriously?
Yeah, because she just skated with the men, Steve.
She skated.
On Saturday, absolutely.
She skated with
and
the men.
And she blew some of the best NHL players out of the water.
She skated with the men.
Yeah, well,
that's not playing hockey.
That's a big part of playing
hockey.
It's
not playing hockey.
Big part of playing hockey.
It's not actually playing hockey.
She would go down to college right now, play with the men, and skate with them.
It
and
was
be just
one
as good.
Small skate for women, but it was one giant
oh,
skate for womankind.
No, I mean, the whole thing was ridiculous.
I'm not here to defend him. But that notion that she's way more accomplished, give me a break.
As a hockey player, she
yeah,
is.
In women's hockey.
Yeah, no.
In women's hockey.
She was at the All-Star game with the men on Saturday.
In women's hockey.
Was that the
right?
men? Was
there
that
are,
women's
there
All-Star
are,
game?
There,
or
there
or
are women who
All-Star
can
game?
Shoot in a three-point contest. That doesn't mean they're more accomplished than a male Division I basketball player,
she's
not at Hobart College.
She's an Olympic gold medalist, so
well,
yes, she is.
In women's hockey.
Yeah, in women's hockey. Absolutely. And then this week,
you're the
she
one
went
who's saying
and
more
skated faster than men in the All-Star game.
Skated faster.
Yes.
Didn't play hockey better.
Big portion of hockey is skating.
It's a skills
and
competition. It's one skill.
She was faster than a lot of the men.
Oh, God. You just don't get it.
No, I get it.
Now, I will say, his delivery came off as obnoxious. It might be his sense of humor. I don't get why he said
it. I didn't take it as like derogatory. I get what you're saying that you probably shouldn't have said, "Hey, we're paying you to be an analyst here."
Right,
but
don't
I don't
be a
think
fan.
He meant it rude. I think
oh,
it was
I
just
think he absolutely did. I think there's only one way to meet that. When you're
I
telling
didn't get
an,
that right
an Olympic gold medalist, when you're going, "Hey, baby, Pittsburgh's sitting on this, shooting on this side, and Tampa's shooting on this side."
Yeah,
keep that in mind.
That's kind of a dick
it's
move.
It's ridiculous.
That was a dick move. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as far going back to Pierre, like you think your job's special, bud. You think talking and doing one 30-second interview per night and adding a little bit of color on an NBC broadcast is a hard job? I'll tell you what, open the mic up, have an open audition and see how many people can do that job. I guarantee you 3-4% of the people that show up can do that job. Right. The only reason you have your job is because of tenure and because of that you've been doing it for so long and the relationships you've established. That's it.
Right.
That's it. You're a bum.
Next up.
Number two.
Big Five at Five, live here at Silver Sevens. Well, that's a conversation we got to continue down the road. We do. Maybe on your show. Second half starts tomorrow. Grand opening here at Silver Sevens of the Silver and Gold Bar, commemorating the second half beginning. All right, what are the stories we got to look for? We've talked about Fleury and playing all this time. Now we just got some rest. Is there going to be a problem in the second half?
Well, you got to think there is from the standpoint that it is nice that he's got some rest coming off the All-Star break. But there's a reason that Marc-Andre Fleury leads the league in wins and shutouts. And it ain't his scoring, and it ain't necessarily his defense. It's because he's playing more than everybody. Now, he played a lot last year, but you saw what happened in the Stanley Cup. I'm not putting that on Fleury, but he's a year older. He's already an older goaltender. And I know this has been talked about a lot this season, but Legacy just got called up. Obviously, Subban's not healing in the way they would like, so you're going to see, I would imagine, in this second half, a little bit, hopefully, from the backup goaltender, assuming Vegas can keep some sort of pace and stay in that second, third slot. I don't think they're catching Calgary, but I would expect to see some backup goaltending for the last 30, 32 games, whatever's left.
Top story.
Number one.
Bryce Harper getting visits today, or a visit today, from the folks with the Padres. We'll get a read on this on the way back. Top story on the way, and we'll check in on Super Bowl 53 with all the news and notes on the.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas. Live from Silver Sevens Hotel and Casino.
Brady under center, a give to Burkhead, runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
We're going back, baby! And there ain't nothing you can do about it! America's worst nightmare is back!
Still here! We're still here!
My Sunday morning will be spent doing a preview show right here on ESPN Las Vegas, but before and after, I will just listen to that Zolak call and the "We're Still Here" chant on a loop, just to get ready for the game.
I hope you're hydrating as well. Hope you hydrate early that morning to prepare for the afternoon.
Oh, my God.
Because if the Patriots win...
Oh, if the Patriots get off... Well, let's just say this. If the Patriots get off to a quick start and it's a blowout, I may die. Alcohol poisoning could be happening. There could be a lot of crossfading.
Hill and his homies for the rest of the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Because I'll tell you, the highs and lows of the last couple of years, I feel like we should do this tomorrow. Well, let's talk. You're in tomorrow. So yeah. Let's talk more about what game day is like with all of us. We'll get to that tomorrow because, my recollection of the last few years is nightmarish. Story of the day, one, Porzingis goes from the Knicks to the Mavs. Knicks are all in now and clearing the deck and trying to get possibly Durant and Kyrie Irving, plus, you know, their top, looks like a top four pick if they don't get screwed in the lottery, you know, one of these guys from Duke. Other big story of the day, Pod Squad management in town, San Diego, in Vegas, visiting Bryce Harper. Like, Padres? Bryce Harper? What's going on here? Adam Hill in Hour 1 said he thinks this is all just a rouge. They're just trying to pitch their fans. Like, we're trying. Do you believe that?
Yes, I believe what Adam Hill thinks.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as we... First of all, you look what happened with JD last year in the Red Sox, JD Martinez. This is... We're entering that territory. This is all very – it's an adjustment period, not only for the players but for the fans, for the manager, for everyone involved with baseball on any level. What is happening right now is odd. So you're going to see teams reacting to that. 5 years ago, would San Diego even think about making that call for a max? No. They wouldn't because they know they have no chance. But now it's what does a chance mean? What is this landscape that we're dealing with? Now, I don't think they actually think they have a chance, but I do believe what Adam said and what many people are saying. You're posturing. You're going out there and giving it the old college try, which is honestly, I think it's been pretty clear that Philly has a better chance than I thought they did middle way through the year, but I still think there's an element there at play where they're trying, but I don't think anyone actually believes it's going to happen. I think the landing spots that many people thought before, Los Angeles, New York.
Both out.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I believe New York is saying they're out. I believe they're putting it out there because they don't want to pay what they're probably going to have to pay. No one wants to pay.
So then they're out.
As
I said from the beginning, the Yankees are not paying $300 million for a player.
Well, I don't think anybody
These
is.
Owners are cheap asses. Well, right. That was the offer already made by the Nationals. He turned it down. So that offer is there.
It was three?
It was $300 million for 10 years. He turned it down.
All right.
And there's rumors that they've actually upped the offer. Now, who knows what it is now? If the Nats are reading the market and they're like, wow, we actually overbid. No one else is freaking bidding this. But on the Padres specifically, so you guys both think this is just to sort of stroke the fans?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Because I think everyone knows that there's not an actual possibility that Bryce Harper goes to a franchise like San Diego. Why would you do that? I don't believe that.
I know this show has said from the beginning that he's going where the money is tops. It does not matter where it is.
Okay, so you think if San Diego's offers 330 mm-hmm. and 10,
yep.
and Washington offers 3, he's going to take the 330?
Yes.
I don't see how you're going to give up Max Scherzer. You're going to give up
Scott
that lineup.
It's a Scott Boras client.
I understand that. But at the end of the day, it's a Bryce Harper call. And $30 million to leave a team that's already built around you and you have chemistry with in a city that loves you? I don't think that at all.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know where he is with the Nationals now.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
know.
True.
I don't know. I don't know if he wants to go back, if he likes them, if there was anything negative about the relationship. It's closer to home. It is, better weather, much nicer place to live. San Diego's freaking awesome. I mean, do I think that's the best way to build a team? Not unless the Padres are willing to start spending $150, $180 million dollars on a payroll, which they can. They can.
But they've never shown that willingness.
They did, as we pointed out in hour one, they did in 2015. So they went big dollar and kind of built a rotisserie team, and then it didn't work, and they said, we're out. They gave it 1 year, and they were out. Yeah. It was Matt Kemp and Justin Upton, and Craig Kimbrell was on the team, and then they bailed.
Yeah.
They didn't give it enough time. It didn't work out that year.
I think what we're seeing –
I think they're serious.
I think what we're seeing –
I think they're serious on offering. It might be what you just said, where they offer just above whatever the market is. And I believe that they made an offer on Machado, or at least they're monitoring the market on Machado. If Machado is as low as 175, as was thrown out there a couple weeks ago, that was the highest offer by the White Sox, I think they'd be in on that.
I do too. I just don't know if it's up to Manny.
If it was 30, okay. If it was the White Sox offering $330 million, the Nats offering $300, and the Padres offering $330, what would he do?
If I'm Harper,
my answer might surprise you.
I would probably – it's tough. I would either go – I would probably lean Chicago because of Eloy, because of their farm system, because of – and I'm not saying that as a White Sox fan. They have a really great farm system. They have the number one prospect in baseball in Eloy Jimenez. So,
yeah. I'm with
Nationals,
you.
Nationals are more built to win right now.
Yeah.
White Sox are more built to the future, and they've got a ton of money. And here's another thing. They want to win right now. Because ownership ain't getting any younger. Reinsdorf is old. He's going to die, and he wants one more.
He's going to die.
He is. He's dead soon.
I'm with you. I trust White Sox commitment to winning
100%
a lot more than the Padres.
No. So if for Bryce, if that were the case, which I don't know how that's going to play out, I would still probably go Washington because they're built right now. You have chemistry with them. You have a history with them. And there's no guarantee that all that talent in Chicago and that commitment to winning, is actually going to pay out. So
we step aside here. We got to go into the grab bag. We have an interesting case. Ryan is really getting in the crosshairs of someone, and I don't think he realizes that he's doing it by snubbing this person.
Cofield and Company will be back in 90 seconds. Keep it here on ESPN Las Vegas.
Hey, it's Chrissy from Cofield & Company, and this Saturday at Pizza Rock inside of Green Valley Ranch Hotel Casino, I will be live with ESPN Las Vegas from 3 to 5 as the Golden Knights take on the Florida Panthers. Pizza Rock is Hockey Central, so show up in that Golden Knights gear and get a free beer. While you're there, make sure to register for a pair of tickets to an upcoming Golden Knights game and enjoy the game on Pizza Rock's 80-inch big screen TVs. It's Pizza Rock at Green Valley Ranch, Saturday from 3 to 5, and for every Golden Knights hockey game. Respect the craft and respect the game at Pizza Rock for the most exciting hockey action. Come watch exciting hockey action at Pizza Rock inside of Green Valley Ranch Hotel and Casino. Score $4 meatballs, $5 one-topping personal pizzas, and $4 well, wine, and 32-ounce PBRs. Hockey is at Pizza Rock inside of Green Valley Ranch every week.
The big game matchup is set, and William Hill is your home for betting the New England-Los Angeles Showdown on Sunday, February 3rd. William Hill is offering more than 900 ways to bet the game, including live in-play wagering during the game. Also available is our $100,000 parlay card, which is just $5 to play. Pick the winning side of 15 prop bets and win big. The $100,000 card plus all other big game wagers are also available on the William Hill Nevada mobile sports app. For more information, visit williamhill.us. That's williamhill.us.
Tired after the game? No need to drive to Finley Toyota to get the best deal. Go to FinleyToyota.com to get live assistance and inventory. At Finley Toyota, we'll do anything to sell you a car online.
It's Cofield and Company's...
You want it? Check it out.
Grab bag.
Smells like fish in here.
Hey, don't touch that. That's nothing to play with, man.
On ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
I like that combo earlier about the Olympian. I think that's we're gonna use that up on Facebook. Continue the conversation up there. We'll get some feedback, and then when you and I and Adam Candy, who is a seasoned broadcaster, are together tomorrow, we'll have more on that. I thought that was interesting. Pierre Maguire appeared to be obnoxious and condescending to a female who's just breaking into broadcasting, and she actually did send out. She sent out a note on this because it was blown up on social media. She said, I've known Pierre Maguire for years. I know how he respects me as a hockey player, a woman, and a friend, and that's why I didn't think twice about the honor exchange when it happened. I went back, looked at the video. I understand why people think it was inappropriate. While I wish it came out differently, I know Pierre doesn't question my hockey knowledge. So,
you skipped over an important part of that.
Oh, she said, if I were watching at home and saw a man say this to a woman athlete, I would have been offended.
She took the high road. She took the high road. She was a professional. Pierre Maguire wasn't. And we can definitely talk about this more. I anticipate.
You're wrong.
I look forward to it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm wrong. Yeah.
You're virtue signaling.
Yes.
You are.
Yes, yes, yes.
100%
yes, you are. SJW. Yes, yes,
100%
yes.
You are.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. The nonsense over someone's qualified and someone's not to broadcast is very subjective.
Is it?
She's not qualified. She was terrible when she was on air. Now, she may be good down the road, but she certainly should not be on an NHL broadcast. She couldn't speak. She was nervous as hell.
Okay.
She was.
Okay. I understand.
Sorry, I don't just give free passes to anyone. If you stink, then you have to work. You know, well, first of all, you can't stink and even get a chance. But if you're not great, you're going to have to work your way up. And we do this. This to me, what you can't see because you're worried about the male-female thing is – this is the jockocracy.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with male-female. It has everything to do with an Olympic gold medalist. You're talking to an Olympic gold medalist in a sport trying to explain her what side of the ice the teams are shooting on. It's ridiculous.
I didn't like his delivery, but then you took it to she's more qualified than he is.
Yes, by definition as an Olympic gold medalist.
Not at all.
Okay, cool.
God, you're a moron in this one.
Okay.
So then
as a sideline reporter for UNLV, I understand why you would come to his defense and think that not anyone could do the job. I disagree. And I don't say anyone.
Not all athletes are equipped to do this.
I agree with that. Jason Witten, great example. Been horrible this year.
I mean, Ryan, you would accept.
I'm talking about explaining a game to an Olympic gold medalist, someone who has played it their entire life.
Here's what's funny. I hear we all have worked at different times, and you work more than I do now, for the Fight Channel on Sirius. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I heard you and others piss and moan that fighters, green fighters, who have no broadcast experience, were getting shifts over you guys. This is the same thing. It's the jockocracy.
In what
she's
sense
not
is it the
ready.
Same thing? These people are getting paid.
Yes.
She was doing a guest spot.
Right.
Totally different. She was guesting with Pierre Maguire, and he treated her like a child. Now, I work with these people. Do I think they're good? No, but I don't treat them like children because I respect
the
place they're in.
I'm not talking about his content with her.
That's all I'm talking about.
I'm talking about your assertion that any athlete is more qualified to do sidelines or analyst work than someone who's been in the biz.
I didn't say that. I just said many people can do your job, so don't get all high and mighty and don't treat someone like they're an idiot. Because she knows the game.
He was condescending. Does she know the game?
Is that a joke? She's an Olympic gold medalist.
Can she explain the game? Not everyone can.
That's not what you asked. You said, does she know the game? Yes, she knows it. Whether she can explain it is entirely
so every athlete knows the game.
That's not what I said.
Olympic
gold medalist? Yes. Every Olympic gold medalist who's ever won an Olympic gold medal in that particular
knows
the game that they're playing. Yes.
Knows the game
absolutely.
More than coaches.
That's not what I said. I said they know the game and they don't need to be explained to by someone on national television. That's all I'm
saying.
The
way he explained it, I'm sure she knows what side
of
the ice
is. So we
agree. But your blanket statement that they automatically know the game and they can explain
it. That's not what I said. I'm saying a lot of people can do Pierre's job, and I said he treated an Olympian with disrespect, and that's what I had an issue
with. I'm saying that every Olympic athlete does not know their game.
That's an Olympic gold medalist does.
Okay, every Olympic gold medalist does not know their game.
Okay, that's ridiculous. You're saying can they explain it to someone? That I agree with.
Right.
Not everyone can do that. Knowing the game, they
guessing,
know.
I'm guessing,
they played it. They know
I'm
the
guessing
rules.
Some,
they know what side of the ice they shoot on.
Do they?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes, they do.
Do they all?
Yes.
Donovan McNabb does.
Yep.
Really?
Was he an Olympic gold medalist?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well.
Now she's got a free pass over an NFL player. What I'm trying to explain to you is Donovan McNabb did not know the overtime rules while he was playing.
I remember that.
So your statement that every athlete knows the game, they don't.
I can't say that's not a good counter, Steve. But we're talking about Olympic gold medals.
You got to stop with the Olympic gold medals.
Stop. I'm joking, obviously.
God. All right.
We both agree that he treated her like a child. It was a bad move.
It was condescending.
Okay, so that's all that really matters. If you want to go longer, we can go longer. If you want to take offense, I said that a lot of people can do Pierre's job, and you know that's fine. We can get into
By
that.
By the way, my sideline reporting gig has nothing to do with Pierre Maguire. I'm not good at it. I don't even know if I'm doing it after this year. I will defend talk show hosts many times. I don't have a stake in the sideline reporting game. I've barely done it. I'm not good at it. So
you're better than Pierre Maguire, clearly.
I don't know about that.
Leg up. You never insulted someone, an Olympic gold medalist, and to explain what side of the court they're shooting on.
I've probably insulted lots of people who could have told me, hey, you don't know what you're talking about. It's happened.
Asia Wilson shows up. Hey, Asia, the Rebels are shooting on this side of the...
Well, that would be stupid. That was a dumb delivery.
That would be stupid.
Yes. But do I know that Asia Wilson is some basketball expert? Maybe. I don't know. I don't. I think that's a dangerous assumption, and that's why we have so many bad broadcasters. Well, that's why we have Jason Witten go right to the top of the broadcasting list, and he every week doesn't know the personnel. He's lost.
I'm definitely not advocating for her to have a full-time job. I'm just going over the 30 seconds that we saw last night and the way it was.
Oh,
that's
back in the bag, Chrissy, please.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Yeah, what is this?
We've heard off the air, you've had a request from our buddy John Murray at Westgate to come on your MMA show that you
not
do with
all.
Misha Tate. You've missed this?
I have never heard John once ask. He can come on any – John, you can come on anytime you want. You DM me, buddy.
We got to clean this up.
100%.
Because he wants to come on.
Absolutely. Let's go.
He wants to have the honor – he loves radio shows, but he wants to have the honor of going on with Misha Tate, who, by the way, is very good.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with me. No, but absolutely.
Misha Tate, not a gold medalist, but very good.
No, sir. She has some gold. She does have
Ronda
some gold.
Ronda Rousey, a gold medalist. Terrible. I can keep doing this.
I can go all day.
Because believe me, I'll think about it tonight. I'll think about gold medalist and non-gold medalist. Because you did watch Ronda the other day on Raw, right?
Oh, she was bad.
Yeah.
No, she's not good. She's an actress. She is not Steve Cofield.
That's actually a good counter, too. She's not really explaining judo and mixed martial arts. She's trying to do Ric Flair, but she's having a tough time.
Yeah, she's doing great in-ring. Outside doing the promo work, she's got a lot of work.
Get down here tomorrow. Tons of giveaways, great drink specials. The drink special during the games, 77-cent beers the rest of the way at the Silver and Gold Bar at Silver Sevens is freaking dynamite. But tomorrow they got a bunch of great giveaways. It's Silver Raiders, Gold, VGK, brand new bar right here in front of the William Hill Race and Sportsbook. We'll see you.